since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your hosts, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1190. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me for this episode of Gamertag Radio, we have Paris. What's up, Paris?
What is going on, man?
Everything is good, man. Everything is good. In a couple weeks, it's going to be crazy with the amount of games that's coming out, man. I'm just wondering for you, because for me, it's been kind of complicated thinking, like, what I'm going to do next for all these games coming out. Do you even have time to play all these games that's coming out
in the month of February? Absolutely not. And I mean, we can talk about this because we're allowed to. Like, I'm literally playing Horizon Forbidden West right now. And, you know, we got Dying Light 2 as well. We have other stuff, too. I don't know, dude. And you think about it, this is going to go into March this way. It's like, literally, I'm going to just play what I can play, you know, and be able to talk about it. But there, it's virtually impossible to try and cover everything that's about to come out here over the next, 6 weeks? It's nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think it's a couple other games we haven't even talked about that's coming out. Elden Ring, Crossfire X. I'm trying to think of something else. But I'm wondering, is it good now that Sifu. Stalker 2... Oh, well, Sifu is coming out also this month. I'm happy that Stalker 2... It got delayed to the end of the year.
Well, that one I wasn't so concerned with because it was supposed to come out in like the end of April or something like that, right? So
no, March. Actually, March.
No,
right?
No, it was April.
April, okay.
Yeah, it was April.
Okay. Yeah.
But my point is I thought there was enough space between that one with all this other stuff. This other stuff is all on top of each other. But even like you're saying that, almost trying to then catch up on the other stuff that I'm probably not going to be able to play, you know, over February and March. Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah, probably I wish it wasn't delayed until December, but yeah, it's almost like you want to space some of this stuff out.
Yeah, yeah, it's wild. It's wild. But guys, for those that are listening, make sure to hit us up and please let us know your thoughts about all these games that's coming out. I know Pokemon just came out recently. It's been getting great reviews, Paris. It's been great seeing like the fans excited about the game, but also they're complaining about the game too, because they're saying, man, the game looks very ugly, but it's so much fun. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to Nintendo for providing like the code. I'm actually gonna power record a review in a couple of days to talk about it, so it's gonna be fun. All right, so head over to Gamertag Radio, make sure to listen to our past episodes, and if you're new to this, also follow us. You can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. And also, post review will help us out so much. Now, if you would like to be part of our family discussion, which we have a couple of voicemails we're going to play for this episode, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, let's talk about this, man. And before I start with this conversation, there's a rumor that there's a new image of a new Cyberpunk 2077, the next-gen version. I don't know if you've seen the cover or not, Paris, but it's been out there, and supposedly that might be coming out very soon. So between February, March, or even April around that time, we might get the new next-gen version of Cyberpunk. Don't know if it's true or not. Just saw it this morning, right before the recording. But I was going to ask you, do you see yourself playing this at all once the next-gen version comes out? Are you good? Are you moving on, or what?
Well, again, it comes back down to time. Like if you know, we're trying to review other things and play other new titles, I'll eventually jump back in and play it, but it may not necessarily be right away. It honestly just depends what comes with this. I mean, yeah, they're going to do the next gen console upgrades, but is there going to be new content, new things that, you know, wants, you know, gets me to want to go back and do it again? You know, look, we already know all the issues and everything that this game has had since it came out, you know, December 2020. I do want to give it another chance. I'm sure CDPR obviously wants a lot of people to give this game a second chance. So, I mean, we'll see. I saw the image as well. I mean, it makes sense. I almost feel like when they do this, is they're going to kind of try and do like a soft relaunch of the game at the same time. So I do imagine there'll be some new content that comes with this as well. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll probably check it out just because I'm curious, you know. But the first store I want to mention to you, Paris, is I know UMP pre-ordered the Steam Deck, and it looks like the first batch is going out in late February. Are you part of that
group? 'Cause I don't know. No, I'm not. Okay. Because, you know, all the issues, everyone was slamming the servers when it originally, you know, went on pre-order. I got dumped into Q2. So I won't get it initially at launch. I'm honestly not expecting to get a Steam Deck until probably this fall, realistically. Maybe by this summer if I'm lucky, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you pre-ordered the most expensive one?
Yeah, I did.
That one?
Yeah.
Wow, so you went all out. Yeah. Holy crap. Because I know Ree, my fiance, she pre-ordered the second one. So I got to ask her when she might get this version. But anyways, I was reading that you only have like at least 72 hours to confirm your pre-order, or if not, they'll give it to somebody else. So you people that are listening, make sure to check your email, because if you miss this opportunity, you're not going to be part of that first batch. But what are the games that you're excited to try out on this device? Because I know you play a lot of Steam games for you.
I mean, literally everything. I mean, it's everything that I'm already currently playing on PC. I'm going to be interested to try it out on the Steam Deck as well and see how it holds up, you know, frame rate wise and all that, control wise. There's a lot of potential with this, obviously. The fact that you can, they're treating it like a PC, so they're not locking you into just one ecosystem. If you want to put Windows on this thing, you could, right? Obviously, I'm curious to see, you know, the potential of linking in PC Game Pass into this as well and how that'll work. Obviously, even the cloud streaming options that we'll have between, you know, xCloud and GeForce Now as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things. Like you bring up Cyberpunk, like we're just talking about that. That is definitely one I want to see how it holds up on the Steam Deck as well. You know, we've obviously seen some examples of like God of War running on there, you know, things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it really just everything that I'm already playing on PC, I definitely want to try and play on the Steam Deck too.
Yeah, because I think for me, the games that I would like to try out once this comes out is more of like the games like Horizon, which I've been playing that on Steam. God of War, I think it will be very interesting to see how this one looks on that. And also first-person shooter games. I definitely could try out, you know, a game like Halo Infinite is also on Steam, multiplayer, try that. Dying Light 2, like the new games, I also would like to try that one too, so very, very curious to see how that's going to look. And the thing that I'm worried about, Paris, too, is the battery. Like, how long is the battery life on this? I know there's been different reports on the numbers. Do you know the exact number of the
top of my head, I can't remember what they were saying on it. But look, you got to imagine the battery life isn't going to be super great. If we can get the same type of battery life we get from the Switch, that'll be acceptable, I guess, even though it's not the greatest. But I'm not really holding my breath for anything more than that.
Yeah, and this also brings a dock, or you have to buy that dock separate?
Pretty sure you got to get it separate.
Yeah, because honestly, this would be perfect for people that don't have a PC and they just want to play on the TV or on the go. This would be the perfect device.
You know, well, again, it is a PC. I mean, for all intents and purposes, let's not forget that it is a PC. Like you said, you can dock it and use it like a PC if you so choose. So it's that's kind of just the flexibility of it, which excites me. Obviously, you can take it on the go. You can plug it into a dock, use it that way. You can load multiple OSs on there. There's all these different customizable things you'll be able to do. So that's the exciting part for me.
Yeah, I saw a video of someone that had the Steam Deck stand, right? And I think he connected like some arcade sticks, so he was playing like a fighting game. I think it was Street Fighter, I can't quite remember, but I'm like, oh man, that looks really, really cool, man. Really cool. At first I didn't pre-order this, Paris, because I was like, you know, I had a kind of like a not a great experience with the Steam machine, so I was like, let me just wait and see with this device, because I felt like the support for Steam Machine went away super quickly, and my device only lasted for like a year. So that's why I was kind of nervous. I'm like, man, should I pre-order this or not? And I decided not to. I'm just going to wait and see.
I mean, it's a leap of faith regardless. I mean, you know, we're looking at new tech. We're looking at new hardware. Until we actually have it, you know, in the public's hands, we won't know how reliable this is going to be. So everyone that's jumping, we're all first adopters that are pre-ordering it. You know, and your mileage may vary. As a matter of fact, I'm on the page right now and I'm looking, and the dock is sold separately. They said more information on that coming soon.
Oh, okay. Okay. Also, only the handheld version is going to come out first, and then the dock maybe later in the future.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the dock will be later. You know, it's USB-C powered. You can obviously connect all your different USB peripherals, excuse me, to it. And also, you got to remember, it has Bluetooth built in as well. So you have a Bluetooth keyboard, Bluetooth mouse. You can connect it directly. Obviously, Bluetooth controllers. So like an Xbox controller, or even the DualSense. You'll be able to connect to it as well.
Yeah, they have the Steam controller. That's like the design that it has, right, for this controller, for the handheld?
No.
It's kind of similar, no?
No.
Because I see two pads on the side.
No, it's, if you remember that old Steam controller, it's a variant of it, obviously, because it does have the touch control, so you can simulate mouse controls on there, but this isn't exactly the same as the old Steam controller.
Okay. Ah, cool. Well, for those that are, you know, waiting for the devices, coming up very soon, man. Late February for the first batch. So curious to hear what everybody has to say about it, man. So, Paris, I know a couple years back I didn't get the chance to see this, and I'm curious if it was only you or just Pete. Can't remember, but the Star Wars game, Star Wars 1313, the video got leaked, and this version is a show like Boba Fett, the bounty hunting action game. For that, it looks really cool. It looks like a Uncharted game, third person view. Did you had an opportunity to see this game at E3?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. So
it was Pete. Oh, man. But have you got Pete. To see the footage for this one?
Yeah, I looked at it briefly. I didn't invest too much time into it because I'm like, this is never coming out. So I didn't.
Yeah,
it didn't really matter to me. But yeah, like you said, it definitely has a kind of an Uncharted vibe to it, and it's interesting now where we see on Disney Plus with Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett. It really makes you think, man, they could totally just have this big tie-in, you know to the TV shows right now with that game, but unfortunately it's not gonna happen.
I was gonna ask you a question, but I don't know if that's like related to this, but anyways, look, I was gonna ask you if you felt like the character Boba Fett, do you think, compared to what we used to hear a lot about the character from back in the days, since we heard about it back in like in the 70s, and Boba Fett now, do you feel like it's the same type of character? Like now, I don't feel like he's a badass like compared to like the old Boba Fett. I don't know, maybe because of the story that we have been seeing now for Disney Plus. Do you feel that way or no?
Well,
I was going to ask.
I know this is straying away from gaming, and I know a lot of people have that complaint about Boba Fett with Book of Boba Fett, but the whole point of it is he's changed. He's grown from his earlier days of being a bounty hunter and being this, you know, relentless badass to where, I don't want to spoil too much, but if you watch Book of Boba Fett and you see the journey that he went on after getting out of the Sarlacc pit, it changed him, and that's kind of where we're seeing him right now. I think the Mandalorian actually is closer to what we thought Boba Fett would be, right? And
yes,
that's how I kind of look at it. Like, okay, watch the Mandalorian and see what he's been doing as a bounty hunter, whereas the Boba Fett we knew is different now. And, you know, the story isn't over yet. We'll obviously see where it goes. But I've enjoyed it personally. I know a lot of people haven't enjoyed it, but I have. So, again, I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, I believe there's only two episodes left, so we'll see. Maybe it changed my mind. But I've been having fun watching it. It's been cool. But speaking about Star Wars, Paris, it looks like Respawn is still going to be making more Star Wars games, man. So I think that's really cool. I think Respawn is one of my favorite developers. They made, you know, Timefall 2, also Apex Legends, and now this Star Wars game. They also came out a couple years back. New ones coming up. I think this is great. The only part that I'm like sad, Paris, is it looks like we're never going to see a new Timefall game from Respawn, because it looked like they're so busy with working on these Star Wars games, man.
And you know, and I put out a little joke tweet when all this news came out with Respawn, and it's, you know, just for a second, you just got to give appreciation to Respawn and just seeing how much they've grown over the years, and obviously how much trust EA and Disney have in them as a developer, to see them doing multiple Star Wars projects at this point, to see them create Apex, and to see how it's taken off. The truth of the matter is this: as much as we may love Titanfall, and Titanfall 2, the campaign is one of the greatest shooter campaigns ever made. Everyone agrees on that. The Titanfall series has not been successful. That's just a fact, for various reasons. But it just hasn't been. It hasn't been a moneymaker. So would you really invest in that again with a Titanfall 3 when you got Star Wars on the table, you got Apex on the table? They're going to dedicate the resources to that. Do I think Titanfall as a series is dead? No. I just think it's going to be a very long time before they revisit it again, because, you know, the priority right now is on the things that is obviously going to be profitable for them, and that's Star Wars and Apex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but here's the thing, Paris. The second game of Titanfall, dude, that was not the game's fault. That was more.
No, but that's why I said various reasons. Yeah. It's very, we sure, look, we don't need to get into it here, but, you know, we know some backstory on that. But the point is, it didn't make money, right? So to then say, all right, I'm going to invest, I don't know, I'm pulling a number out, $150-200 million to go make a Titanfall 3, when instead you could be making Jedi Fallen Order 2 and brand new experiences in Star Wars universe that, you know, people are going to invest in and want to play. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So it looks like Jedi Fallen Order 2 is almost done, and it looks like this game is going to come out at the end of this year. So if my timing is right, we might see an announcement during Star Wars Day. Yep. I know they have like an event every year. So I think that's like the right time for Disney to show that game.
That's pretty much my guess. They'll do it then. They'll do it May the 4th and just make it a part of overall Star Wars celebration. I mean, this would be the biggest and most recognizable Star Wars video game to come out. Like you said, it sounds like it'll come out this year. Yeah, it'll be huge. Mm-hmm.
So Ubisoft, Massive actually is working on a new Star Wars game, and also Avatar, because Avatar is part of Disney, right? Yeah. When are those games are going to come out? I don't see that coming out anytime soon.
Nah.
Avatar, we've been hearing this. It's been a while now.
You got to imagine the Avatar game is probably tied into the movie release, right? Is that this year? I don't even know if that's this year.
I have no idea what's going on.
But I would imagine the Avatar game comes out when the movie comes out, right? The one that that Julian, that whole Division team is working on, that Star Wars game over at Massive, 2024 if we're lucky.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
It'll be a while. Huh.
Yeah. All right. So there's another article here. Paris, I know we talked about this a couple times now on the show, ever since the news about Activision Blizzard, now part of the Xbox family now. And the conversation everybody's been talking about is Call of Duty. What's going to happen? I know there's been tweet from Phil about it, and the tweet is it's like a slick way to say, like, we're not gonna say much. This is the most I could say, and that's it, about if Call of Duty is still gonna come out on PlayStation or not. So there's a report, and this is from Bloomberg, says that the Activision is reportedly committed to three more PlayStation Call of Duty games, including Warzone 2. After that, it's a huge, huge question mark if those games are going to be exclusive only to Xbox, or it's also going to come out multi-plat after that. So, three Call of Duty games. Let's say, is that this year, 2022? So, by 2025, Paris, I think that's about it for Call of Duty on PlayStation, man. Is that smart? Do you think the timing is right? I think this makes sense because maybe there has been some contract deals behind the scenes with Activision and PlayStation. What do you think?
No, I mean, I just kind of go back to what I've originally said when all this news broke, even before Phil put out the tweet that he did and Sony said what they said. They're going to fulfill their contractual obligations. What it sounds like, it's these next three Call of Duty games, which will be the two annual ones, the one this year and then the one in 2023, and then a next gen only Warzone. And then after that, all bets are off. I mean, I think it really then comes down to, does Microsoft want to just make it exclusive to the Xbox ecosystem, put it in Game Pass? They have the right to do that. Do they stop doing annual titles? I think they probably do. Will it live on PlayStation? I think at a minimum, Warzone will. I don't think Warzone goes anywhere, right? Free to play. You're going to want to put it on many platforms as possible. Matter of fact, I know we got the one voicemail. You might want to play it at some point in this, but like even what the gentleman was speculating, yeah, there's a lot of money on the table with Call of Duty. Yes, it's the number one franchise out there. I don't think Microsoft this is my personal opinion. I don't think it stays annual after 2023. I can see it taking a break in 2024, coming back in 2025, and then they do something a little different with it. Kind of like he even mentioned in the voicemail, my speculation is multiplayer wise, I think Call of Duty will continue to live everywhere. I think when we think standalone single player experiences, I can see that becoming exclusive to Xbox, exclusive, you know, to, you know, you want it on Game Pass, wherever Game Pass is, that's where the game will live, right? It's going to change. It just is. Go back to all the way what I said with Bethesda, and I still say with Activision. You don't spend, you know, almost $69 billion to keep things the same. So something's going to change with Call of Duty. It's not just going to continue to be an annual title. Will it live on PlayStation? I think in some form, but not the way that it does today. So that probably all changes in 2024 is when we'll start seeing something different with Call of Duty. And obviously whatever Microsoft and PlayStation negotiates will play into that. No, I don't think Game Pass comes to PlayStation. I don't think it ever will. That's my personal opinion. But you know, as far as Call of Duty goes, you know, it is the number one game in the world. It has been for over a decade. So some variant of that will continue to live on PlayStation, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. You know what? Let's talk about that, Paris, about what everybody's been saying now for the past few days about Game Pass going to PlayStation. I agree with you. I don't see Game Pass going to be on PlayStation. I just can't see it.
Why would PlayStation do it? See, that's the question that I keep throwing back. Of course Microsoft wants it too. If it's under Microsoft, absolutely they're going to put it on PlayStation.
Of course. Yeah,
but
exactly.
But why would PlayStation do it? We know Spartacus is coming. Not that it's going to be 100% direct competitor to Game Pass, but is their version of a subscription service. Why would they want another subscription service to play the competitors' games on their platform? I just don't see it. I don't see them saying, hey, I want Halo and Forza and Sky, you know, and Starfield and all this stuff on our platform. But the only way you can play it is subscribing to Game Pass. I don't see that happening. I just don't. And I don't see why would Microsoft want to put it on there. And basically, because you got to think, if PlayStation's doing it, the PlayStation's getting a cut of the action on it. Why would they do that when we know that Microsoft's plan is they're going after, and this goes into the other voicemail of the trap, but Microsoft's plan with Game Pass is they're trying to hit the other billions of gamers that are out there, right? And they're not just trying to capture all the console gamers. They're saying, we're going to give you a console if you want, but you can play those games on PC. We're going to put it on the cloud. You can play it on your mobile device, all that. You can play it on your smart app on the TV. That's the crowd they're going at. Just like Phil Spencer said a couple years ago, their competitor is no longer PlayStation and Nintendo. Their competitor is Amazon. It's Google. It's Facebook. That's who they're competing with. So I just don't see a deal either way for Microsoft or Sony making sense to put Game Pass on there, because that's not the audience they're trying to get. They're going to say, we're going to give you enough content via Game Pass that it's going to be irresistible for you to not want to be subscribed to this. And there's going to be enough new compelling exclusive content via Game Pass that you're going to subscribe to it and you'll figure out a way to it. They don't need the PlayStation console to be able to sell that. They don't. That's just my personal opinion. And on the flip side, PlayStation has no incentive to do it because they have all their exclusive titles. You can't make enough PlayStation 5s right now. So why? I just don't see it. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see it. I don't see it at all. But hey, there's no rules, Paris. So, hey, anything is possible.
Yeah. I mean, look, if I'm wrong. I'll put the John Cena shocked emoji out on Twitter when it happens because I will be thoroughly shocked.
Yeah. Well, before I play the voicemails, Paris, and I just remember about this because I saw this a couple of days ago.
Well, we kind of just answered the voicemail. So just play him in the show.
Yeah. I'll play him in the show. But before we head out, I want to talk about this, and this is a very interesting story. I don't know how legit this news is, but it looks like Apple might be preparing a new video game console, like their own video game console. And the rumor that I heard is it looks like they've also been trying to get like Xbox engineers to also work on this project. Now, is this something that Apple could compete with Sony and Xbox having their own console, etc. in the future? Does this make sense for Apple now in 2022?
Well, I go back to exactly what I said with Xbox and who they're competing with. Throw Apple into that mix. That's the whole point. Absolutely, they could put out hardware that could be able to play, you know, quote unquote, next gen games and all that. This is why you just saw Microsoft spend $69 billion to get Activision, because they're trying to keep it away from the Apples and the Amazons and the Tencents of the world, right? Because gaming is a multi-billion dollar business. Everybody wants a piece of that pie. Microsoft has already been in it for 20 years, so they have the advantage over these other big corporations that are trying to get into it now. So I go back to what I said before. Content is king. Exclusive content is king. You can apply that to all forms of entertainment. This is why you see with Netflix and Disney Plus and, you know, and Peacock and all the rest of them, they're investing billions of dollars in original content, because just because you become a subscriber for 1 month, what about month two? What about month six, month nine, year two? They want to keep you every month in that ecosystem and give you compelling things to want to subscribe to. So if Apple were to come into this, yes, you create your own custom hardware to give people a value proposition thing that they could stick under the TV if they're so choose. But then you also have, you know, your quote unquote gaming division where you can play it on the PC. You have some kind of streaming option so you can play it on mobile devices and all that. And you probably have a subscription model tied to it with your own exclusive original content. So what we're going to start to see, whether people like this or not, is Bethesda's already off the table. Activision's already off the table. You're going to start to see the Segas and the Capcoms and the rest of the world up for bid as well. And you're going to start seeing these major corps, Amazon, Apple, Tencent, the rest, all trying to acquire them so they can have their own studios to make exclusive content for their ecosystem. This is where Google screwed up. Yes, Stadia as a cloud streaming thing is great. It's probably the best on the market, but they didn't have their own hardware to play those games and have their own exclusive. They were starting to build their own games and then they abandoned it because they didn't have their own hardware. They didn't put those games on PC. You know, what were we arguing for the past couple of years, why that business model didn't work for Stadia? Because it was cloud only. That can be a component of it, but that can't be the only thing that you do. And then if you want me to be a subscriber, you got to give me compelling content to want to stay subscribed. And that's what Stadia failed to do. So I'm sure Amazon and Facebook and Apple and the rest have looked at this. Clearly, Microsoft has looked at this and they're like, we're not making that mistake. Right. This is why, going back to that voicemail, Microsoft has 34 studios making content so they can consistently pump out original exclusive content for their ecosystem. This is why Matt Booty even said their goal is to have a new game coming out of Xbox Game Studios every quarter. That's why you have 34 studios, so you can have that cadence consistently going where you at least have one new game coming out from their internal studios every quarter. You still make the deals with the third party, so you have third party content in there as well. and people will happily still give you their $10 or $15 a month to stay subscribed because you consistently have new games to play across different genres literally every month. That's the whole point.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Paris. Like, Apple has the money. They could easily get exclusives, easily. But Google also had the money. They had a couple exclusives, and they even were planning to have, like, their own first-party exclusives, which that didn't work out. They completely canceled the whole thing. That's the thing. I feel like Apple could pull this off if they have the right, first of all, the right technology, the right console, and also the right software to make people like, okay, you know what? I think it's the right time for me to buy this console. It looks cool. This is an exclusive. I'm not going to find out. You're not going to play this anywhere else, just on this console. So that part makes sense. You know, so yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm a little iffy about this because I'm wondering if this is going to be like a regular console with games, or are they just planning to do this VR thing? Because I know companies been trying to invest a lot of money on this and hasn't been working, man. It hasn't at all. Look at Half-Life Alyx. Game, great reviews when it came out. But did that help push VR to the next level to get even more consumers to buy the device? I don't think so, man. I don't think so. I think PlayStation has gotten a little bit better, in my opinion. Not the technology, but because of the price, it was a lot easier for people to buy it because, dude, Oculus and the other devices are so, so expensive. And people still not, they're not up there with VR. They're more excited about games as on regular console instead of VR. You get what I'm saying?
No, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. This is Gamertag Radio.
Anything else? So you want me to play the voicemail?
Yeah, I mean, I've literally already answered. We've already answered them. So, yeah, just play them right. Before, after, however you want to figure it
all
out.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to play the voicemail right now. And this is fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Now, Paris already answered the questions, but I'm going to play the voicemails because you guys already call in, and I just want the audience to also listen to this. So I'm going to play the voicemails, both of them, back to back, right now.
Hey, GTR. My name is Stefan, and I'm from Connecticut. You can find me as DJ Darkflow on Xbox. Wrote this down so I didn't miss any of my points, but I'll try to make it quick. A multi-tiered question here specifically regarding the new acquisition and how it affects the possible problem of Microsoft competing against itself while bolstering its Game Pass subscription. I just found out about the close of this deal. Microsoft will have a total of 34 game studios under the umbrella. Considering they're looking to break more into mobile gaming and also include more PC offerings, does 34 studios to you and counting sound like a future problem of Microsoft competing against itself? Let's remove Game Pass entirely from the equation as a quick and obvious answer. Taking a guess, I think the most popular game genres besides mobile are role-playing MMOs, FPSs in either platforms or sports games. I'm wondering, with all the talk about games as service and games demanding so much attention from their players, how all of these studios' games can coexist individually, regardless of Game Pass, and maintain an active and loyal fan base without the competition against one another hurting their games. Keep in mind, these 34 studios and counting will be releasing at least several games each in the next decade. And how many different versions of a shooter or games as a service will there be? When I saw the Avowed trailer, it just looked to me like a next-gen Skyrim, but we're also going to have a new Elder Scroll coming, so there's a new issue of games being too similar. That's a lot of internal competition, I feel, at this point. And I remember the pain of realizing my Battlefield 1 experience eventually turned into a server graveyard with no players. Now, with Game Pass, this changes the argument slightly, but in my individual case, not a whole lot. The massive value proposition doesn't work for me or other players who don't have a lot of time to dedicate to the service. Some of us work very many hours at our day job. for me, I'll be lucky to play 1 hour a day, even though I only play once every several days. So therefore, Game Pass, which is $15 a month, doesn't really serve me or someone who works a lot of hours. I also saw the announcement of Dying Light 2 possibly being a maximum of 500 hours, and that just tells me while I like the genre, I won't be able to dedicate much time to it. What are your thoughts about first-party competition and the value proposition of Game Pass for people who don't have much time to spend gaming? Thanks, guys, for all that you do.
Hey, Danny, Paris, Pete. Love what you guys are doing. Been a long-time listener since 2007. Keep up the great work. I just wanted to call in to comment on the Xbox and Activision acquisition. By the way, this is Cliff calling from Buffalo, New York, by the way. I understand a lot of people are scared that Microsoft is going to make Call of Duty exclusive now. I don't think personally that would be a good idea because it would just be a whole lot of money left on the table. Because you got to look at it as, you know, well, people are going to, if they keep it on PlayStation, people are going to buy it, which is still going to be money in Microsoft's pockets anyways. So it's like just keep it, you know, multi-platform. But what I think they should do is make a version of Call of Duty just exclusive to Xbox. Still do, you know, Black Ops or Modern Warfare or keep Warzone multi-platform, but maybe they can just make a spinoff that's exclusive to Xbox and also take away timed exclusives that PlayStation usually always get, and just bring it over to Xbox. Make sure Xbox gets the time exclusives first, and then it goes over to PlayStation. Would love to hear what you guys think. Like I said, keep up the great work, and see you on the next episode. Again, this is Cliff from Buffalo. Gamertag is NYCS on the bad guy, and I'm on Xbox all day, baby. Have a good one, guys. Peace.
All right, there you go, man. So thank you for calling and sending those in, man. And please send more questions. We would like to play them for future episodes of GTR. Paris, anything else happening? Anything else going on or anything you would like to bring up before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's about it.
Yeah, it's been kind of challenging because we have some games that we've been playing, but we can't talk about it. But as soon as the embargo is up, make sure to tune in because I have a lot of things to say in Paris too. And also Future Games is coming out later this month. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments and feedback. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for GamerTag Radio. Subscribe, follow, even post a review. That will help us out so much. So keep on doing it. All right. Now, if you'd like to be part of our family discussion, or segment, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you for listening. Gamer Tag Radio, episode 1190. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also Paris Lilly. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.